Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, British lady, and welcome to Fantasy Island. Not ask my other show. Better yet, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Wonderful to have everybody with us this evening. Hope everybody is doing well as I move outdoors here to the balmy night to enjoy the sight of this evening here. I tell you what, the weather here in North Carolina, this is the closest you'll ever get to waterboarding without the pillowcase. It is hot, stagnant, and ooky feeling, but I will not smoke cigars inside my residence. The sacrifices must be made. So, nonetheless, I am your fill-in host, Dave Atwell, filling in for Dr. John Stamey. And again, I hope everybody is doing wonderful tonight. I am surrounded by excellence, as usual. So leading off with my excellent panel, I'm going to start with my very good friend there in Indianapolis, Tim Armstrong. What is going on tonight, sir?
Deep plane.
Sorry, you said Fantasy Island, and that's immediately what I was thinking.
I like
I was going. And I know I didn't do it justice. I can't even come close, so whatever. I'm doing great. It's a nice evening out, sitting on the porch. Don't have my mocktail yet, but doesn't matter. I'm ready for a good show. Take it away.
Yes, sir. It is great to have you aboard this evening. And as I continue to mess with my audio here, trying to get everything right as I switch over to the speaker, I always get nervous when I'm ever switching over to speaker. I'm scared I'm going to lose everything altogether, and all I'm doing is like Bluetoothing this thing, but that's me and technology not seeing eye to eye. Nevertheless, Tim, it's wonderful to have you on tonight. Thank you for joining us. Now, right beside him in the fine city in Indianapolis is my anchor man, my good brother, Todd Saxon. What is going on with you, young man?
Oh, it's so funny how you use the phrase young incredibly long for wrong for a published author. I'm doing outstanding, supernatural, and ecstatic to be here. Just really digging the decent weather. Finally hearing the cicadas kick off up here. It has been relatively quiet cicada-wise up here in the Midwest. And it's all right. Just happy to be here with and hang out. Enjoy a good evening. Seriously.
Yes, sir. And it sounds good. What am I getting attacked by? Ooh, that was a mutant moth right there I just got attacked by. Another wonderful thing about North Carolina, you can get attacked by any prehistoric-ass insect in the evening times, but that is not a moth. That is something that stings. Ow. And it stung me right in my love handle, man. That isn't even cool. Okay, hang on, folks. We're having technical difficulties. Damn, that's a show first. Getting fried in the damn hips with us.
Well, I'll tell you what, I just got done mowing
good.
The pasture. I got done mowing the pasture about 20 minutes ago or so. And, you know, it's the pasture, so we don't really mow it that often. But every once in a while, like our goats and the alpacas, they can't keep up. So it gets out of control, and it's like, damn, I got to go shave the jungle over there. And when I went through there, I saw about every insect species in North America. They were jumping up left and right. I saw things that I just didn't want to see out there. But, I mean, it was like the plague, you know. It was wild. So, anyway, I feel
you. Yeah,
it.
That was the stuff that, you know, was climbing on a damn Tyrannosaurus a couple billion years ago just stung the hell out of me. I don't know what it was, but it might have been one of them horseflies. We've gotten some – I used to never see horseflies around here, but this summer, for some reason, I'm seeing, like, these quarter-sized horseflies, and they don't play. That might have been what just got me, but nevertheless.
I will survive. With a moth. It might have been one of those. Boy, I can hear the tree frogs kicking up where you are.
Oh, can you?
They're making a ton of racket. I mean, and it's funny, the left-hand side makes one sound and the right-hand side makes another. So I don't know if it's part of the symphony or the glee club they got going on, but... And actually, it's kind of quiet tonight, comparatively speaking. You get the nights right after a rain, and you can't hear anything out here. It is absolutely just deafening. Nothing like the peaceful woods, right? So, enough about the weather and me getting stung in the gut. We're going to move on to tonight's show. So, as I preach about all the time here on the show, how I always preach about self-educate and get your news from different sources, and whatever you do, don't believe everything you read. A lot of times
I need you to repeat that phrase. Get your what from different sources?
Yeah, news. It's not even really news now. It's
okay.
It can't even really be it can't be called journalism anymore, because all you have to do is have a laptop to be a journalist now. Unlike, say, 40 years ago, where you actually had to have a journalism degree and a background and whatnot. But, you know, it's just like reviewers. I mean, we had professional critics 30 years ago, and now anybody that can sign on to Amazon is suddenly a critic. And,
there's some good and bad show. Because there are some absolutely independent journalists, but where you got me laughing about was a certain company's journalist in Cuba saying, I don't know what's going on because the internet's cut off, like the clown couldn't go to a window or walk outside.
Yeah, and look around and see what was happening around them. Because back in the day, that's how you broadcast your news. You just didn't click and paste somebody else's work or change around a few key words after using your thesaurus. You actually were there, when things went down. So, yeah, journalism has certainly been a lost art. Well, that being said, my gripe is now when you're looking at news sources, as you're reading, there are certain headlines that come up daily that I could actually care less about. But every day, they come up somehow or another. So tonight, I thought we could sit here and run our mouth, talk a little smack, have some fun about some of those topics that continue to come up as, air quotes, news, when they really don't affect any damn one of us. And if it affects you more than the things happening in the world, then you've got your priorities twisted around backwards. So, as I alluded to in the green room, certain sports news really doesn't matter, but it's, broadcast all the time like it's, this is breaking type stuff. So I'm going to crack open the can here, and I'm going to start with the Kardashian news. I don't care if I'm on Fox. I don't care if I'm reading Yahoo. I don't care if I'm just got something random. If I'm standing in line at the bank and I'm looking at the little ticker that's going on across the top, why is it that there's always some type of news about what or who those sisters are getting it on with, or what they're wearing, or what little they're wearing? Who cares? Am I being too Hank Hill for my own good here? Do I need to actually give these folks a little bit of my attention? Or is it just one of those?
No.
I mean, why do they garner so much attention, man? My God, go away.
Yeah, you stole one of mine, because I was going to say I can't stand everything I see about, and I was going to say Kardashian / any actor and just make it a kind of a broad. But yeah, I was just telling my wife the other day, I was like, you know, the Kardashians, it's like, what makes them so, who gives a shit? Pardon the French, but why?
Right.
Why do we care? I don't care a thing. I don't even think she's, I mean, whatever, I guess she kind of looks good, but I don't think she's, you know, it's nothing to drool over. In fact, I'm just kind of irritated by her more than anything, and I wish she'd just, for the entire Kardashian family, I wish would just get wiped off the face of the earth. Like, so I'll back you up on that.
Yeah, wow. I'll go down on that. I was just going to say general celeb news. Like there was this, I just did a scroll through the news feed. And again, it's, you guys are right, Kardashians are like a big segment of the celeb stuff. But like there was a thing talking about Nicolas Cage was on the red carpet with his wife that's 31 years younger. Or his fifth wife, I guess.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. First off, most of us learn our lessons a little bit quicker than trying to be married that many times. I don't know if that's something we're supposed to emulate or maybe think that's what we should be emulating. Yeah. I'm just saying.
No, you're right.
I
not even say
yeah, you
know,
I mean, I honestly don't care. Yeah, we're wrong with it because I just I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that you can even broaden it, but not just actors or actresses, but just more or less anyone. Like, and I can't stand to hear, sound like what Dave was talking about, is a lot of these headlines that I see on the internet, it's like that cover page where they want you to click onto something else, you know? And the headline there will read, you know, fill in the gap here for whatever football star has blunt comment for blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, it's like find out what, you know, it's like, I don't care. I don't care what blunt comment. Everyone's got a blunt comment. Why are they always saying so-and-so has a blunt comment? Come up with something. Can you be a little bit original? Do you really have to just use the same phrase over and over and over? It's something new.
That's because of all the
blunt. Yeah, they'll get hooked on certain words. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, going on what you guys are talking about celebrities, man, another one that gets under my skin is all the so-and-so walks on the beach in bikini with whoever. And I'm going, okay, as much as I would like to check out Sofia Vergara in a bikini and as much as I don't mind checking out Britney Spears and her stuff and the whole nine yards, it really doesn't affect my tax rate. It doesn't affect how I put gas in my truck. It doesn't affect my insurance. So I could really care less. And to be quite honest with you, 20, 30, 40 years ago, there was a tabloid called the National Enquirer. And if you wanted to see those pics, that's what you got. So if you went to the news, you got politics, you got current events, that kind of stuff. If you wanted sports, you went to a sports publication. If you wanted gossip and pictures of people in their damn bikinis while they're out there trying to have fun with their families, you went to the tabloids, the Enquirer and U.S., what was that, U.S. News or whatever that was. So, you know, you're on there, and what cracks me up is when they're talking about, you know, so-and-so has magnificent abs and pictures. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, okay, number one, you're a celebrity. Your job is to look good. That's part of your job. Kind of like a professional athlete, you got to stay in shape, right? So part of being a celebrity, especially an actor, actress, you've got to be looking good. Unless you're Kathy Bates, all right? So don't come at me talking about your abs when you're just doing what the hell you're supposed to be doing. Nobody goes, hey, look at Fred, stock the shelf. He's doing his job. When the guy at Jiffy Lube changed your oil, they don't have the press around them taking pictures. Why? because he's doing his damn job. So, and I'll even take it a step further. If I didn't have to worry about washing dishes, mowing my yard, going to work, doing laundry, all that nifty stuff us normal human beings do, I would have time to get some magnificent abs. I would have time and the resources to hire a personal trainer and a dietitian and a cook. But the honest fact is that when you go like we do, you get home, you got just enough time to brown some ground beef, dump two cans of manwich in that shit, stir it up, put it on hamburger buns, and eat. So don't come at me with their weight loss and their magnificent bodies and their bikini pics, because I don't care. They live on a different planet than we do. You know what I mean? So, I mean, to them, you know, God bless them. I'm glad to see that the sun shines on them more than the rest of us, and they're able to live these charmed lives with all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, the hell with it. I'll even take it a step further without trying to get too deep into the rabbit hole. It's funny how everybody carries on about this white privilege stuff, which I'm waiting for mine to kick in. All I've ever done was work my ass off. But nevertheless, the Kardashians are the absolute epitome of what they're getting at. So why do they continue to give them so much attention when you're busy canceling out other people for just living? You know, that Kardashian show has lasted for 20 seasons. 20 seasons! How long did MASH last? I don't think MASH lasted that long, did it?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
But for Christ's sake. But that damn Keep It Up with the Kardashians has lasted over 20 years. What in the hell do you get out of that show outside of a loss of damn brain cells?
Well, I don't want to start the tangent,
yeah,
but that kind of goes for all reality TV, you know. I don't understand the concept. I will admit there was a season of Big Brother that I watched, and only because I didn't have cable. I was like 24. I didn't have anything else going on in life, you know. And so it was like, you know, I got three channels. Big Brother's coming on. Okay. So I watched it. I was entertained for a season. But there's any other, especially the ones where it just shows a bunch of rednecks out in the middle of nowhere doing stuff. What in the world are we watching that for? Is your life really that boring that you've got to watch idiots just do random stupid stuff? You got a backyard. Go do your own random stupid stuff.
Speaking of random stupid stuff, my brother sent a YouTube video earlier. You know the model rockets that you build and do with your kids, and you can be spending all kinds of money for the engines to launch them and all that? This guy uses stump remover, kitty litter, and powdered sugar, and can launch close to 2,000 feet.
What?
That's awesome. That's pretty awesome.
What?
There goes the Al-Qaeda taking notes. Yeah. I think I have both of those items right now. I know damn full well I got powdered sugar here, for crying out loud, but...
I actually have a rocket kit. I got it for Tanner. Tanner's got a rocket kit, and we need to get that sucker out. Maybe this weekend we'll do that. He's had it since Christmas, and we're just kind of waiting for the right weather, which is now. So, but I mean, we got 3 acres, so there's not a, you know, my risk of landing in a neighbor's yard is kind of low.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm guessing
3 acres
give you the opportunity
to grow. Yeah, that's
in this one will give you opportunity.
Wow. Now, see, there is a piece of damn journalism that you can do something with.
Hold on. Trying to share it now. Okay, here we go. I'll just copy the damn link. And let's control C. There is, let me find our group chat. Boys and girls, I've just sent you how to make sugar rockets.
Oh, there we go.
Nice.
Just
yeah,
saying, buddy.
Look, I tell you what. Let me go ahead and go to Facebook Home.
Yeah,
go
somebody
to Pop Culture Stars.
Somebody needs to test this, see if it's real.
The seemed pretty logical as he worked his way through it. I worked in Pop Culture Stars. Here's home. Create a post. And done. So it's on the Pop Culture Stars while it's still posting. All right. It's on the Pop Culture Stars page.
Yeah, buddy.
You can find us on Facebook, people.
That's going to be fun. Let's go ahead and put out a disclaimer that in the event you blow up your house doing this, we are not responsible.
It was Bob Saxon's fault.
For any sugar-related accidents.
Yeah. If you become diabetic after this project.
There you go.
Boy, I want to what the heck was that? See, now I got to tie something to it. Looking up song sugar.
So, Tim, hit me with another one. On, right here.
Another
Tim
headline?
Hit us with another one. Yeah.
Oh, man. I'd probably have to think, to be quite honest. I mean, those two are so, basically what we already covered is so big that that's kind of like, I guess that's why it hurts me so much is because it stands out so bad. But there's, you know, the other thing that I really can't stand is there's always some kind of, and I'll keep it mild. If we want to go deep onto one side or the other, that's fine. But I'm just going to say political jabs in general. You'll have something like it'll say Democrats are really pushing the limit with blah, 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 or, you know, or it'll be the other side. So it's always like a liberal type of media, well, you know, media in quotes, will have their thing to say, and you probably have, you know, conservative, quote, unquote, media attacking the other one. And it's like, give me a freaking break. I'm tired of the bias crap. You know, just report the news. It's just a bunch of garbage what they throw at each other. So, you know, I'm just throwing politics in there. I kind of got tired of, I haven't even looked at any of that stuff recently, so I don't know what it currently is out there, but I got so tired of it all.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, it's funny you say that because I myself feel the same way. I want unbiased black and white journalism. I want to know the truth. And it's funny how both teams, if you will, have their they have their like dozen
Oh, we can come back. Go back to where you were about three steps ago.
Come back
to
the light, Dave. Step into the light.
Oh, here I am.
Yeah, you faded
out
bad.
Sounding all right?
You're
now,
I think.
Am I sounding good now?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I can hear you.
Okay. Cool. So, you know, speaking on, you know, the politics thing, you're right, man. It's just, if you go on, say, a liberal-based, and, you know, and there I go again. That's exactly my point. Here I am just saying this stuff, and this is exactly what I'm getting at. There shouldn't be liberal or conservative-based journalism. There should be journalism. There should be the truth. There should be a non-biased, black and white, you decide type of telling the story. There shouldn't be a curve to the left or to the right. So, because either one is disingenuous. It's not telling the entire story. So, I know the word baseless. I had gotten so sick of the word baseless. Nobody ever used that word until some assbag used it about Trump. And then everything you read had the word baseless in it. Insurrection. If you take the absolute definition of insurrection, that is not what happened on January
6th. No.
Okay.
But now, what do you expect from politicians that keep referring to our democracy when it's not a freaking democracy?
True.
Just saying.
No, very
well,
true.
We use democracy as a tool.
Right. Democracy is part of the basis. It's not what we are. And, but you're right. You know, there's some of those things out there that, and they're very mean-spirited when they're written. They're not written to inform. They're written to bash. You know what I mean? And that's close to Tim's point, is that they're not, I am not writing this to inform you of what's going on. I'm writing this to throw shade on somebody. And unfortunately, there are people who read that kind of stuff and stop reading. They read one side, and that is the gospel. And they never take the time to get the other side's, you know, look at things. And it's a shame because, again, if you get the truth, if you get the black and white of it, you can make up your own mind without having some type of ushering to a certain side. So, yeah, I totally agree with you, Tim. Good call on that one, man, because it does. It's very spiteful, and it's not useful. It does not help anything being that way. So, Todd, you got one on your list.
The kind of where it's going to go where people can't comprehend the difference between somebody actually reporting and trying to lay out the facts, which is getting slimmer and slimmer, mind you, and it's getting inundated with those opinion pieces. There's folks that have done fact stuff, and let's go with this. All these variations, these so-called fact checkers, or they'll call it misinformation, even if what you just said was 2 + 2 = 4, they're going to tell you this is misinformation because somebody wants you to believe it's not.
Yeah.
And they, bug on the window. The opinion pieces, and people take that as fact, even when people misquote things or they get things. And here's the thing. It's so funny how, let's do this. If somebody, and I'm trying to paint it evenly here, let's say somebody has a moment of being tongue-tied, and they say glad instead of happy, trying to do a quote. Ever notice how some people are like completely forgiven for doing that They'll never say, you know, oh, he just got tongue tied. So-and-so lied, or so-and-so bungled this, or, you know, it's interesting because that, again, to me is an example of people's view and bias creeping into things. It's okay for this person to do it, but not okay for that person, just like you said, Kardashians
right.
are the ultimate white privilege.
Yeah, I mean, and the tilt is what kills things. And, you know, when you got people that will believe anything they hear, it's damaging. And I don't think people realize the amount of damage they do. It's just like the workplace. You know, we've always worked with that one person or persons who gossip. Now, Todd, you work with me, and you remember one of my number one rules was if you're in the break room, and I find out you're gossiping, you're off the staff. You can still work. You can still have a job, but you won't work on my staff. Because folks don't realize how much damage gossiping does. You know what I mean? Because it distorts the truth. It distorts the story. And, you know, let's say somebody's going through a divorce, and it's an amicable one. So you're up in the break room speculating that it's because so-and-so ran around. Well, everybody in that break room now is going to believe that you ran around on your spouse because that person is broadcasting something that they really don't have any knowledge about. And it's the same thing, you know, when you get in there and you're trying to skew things and you're speaking to an audience that, again, believes anything they hear, it can do a lot of damage, you know. It's just another one of those things, another one of those headlines that gets under my skin, you know. Now, I got another one for you guys I'm going to throw out. And this actually happened, believe it or not, the other night. I think I was on Microsoft because that's on my laptop. That was the natural home page, the Microsoft one was, and I've never changed it. I just, you know, I'm a grown man. If I need information, I'll go find a reliable source. But nevertheless, you know, I can see time and then stock, you know, quotes and weather and all that kind of jazz. And sometimes even lies about the weather, but nevertheless. There were several stories I got on, and they were talking about how the sea levels are rising and how global warming, climate change, whatever the hell you want to call it, carbon footprint, all that nifty stuff, how that is making the polar ice caps melt and sea levels are rising and yak, 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 and it's all because of the Keystone Pipeline and it had everything to do with the fact that we're fracking and all this other shit. I mean, it just went on and on and on. And you could tell that it was somebody sitting on a log in the woods somewhere who hasn't bathed in 8-9 days, typing on a laptop, giving their view on it, okay? So I scroll to the next thing, and I see another article about how the increased water levels are doing this, that, and the other to the environment and, you know, and 100 years that, you know, houses in the Florida Keys will be underwater because of the rising levels of, you know, due to, you know, carbon and all this other shit, right? So I go, and about 3 or 4 stories later, they're talking about Lake Mead, right? And it's a story about a guy who went through Lake Mead and was taking a bunch of pictures, right? And Lake Mead, the water has dropped so much over there recently that it's actually left like a bathtub ring around the canyons that Lake Mead runs through, right? And they're talking about drought. And they're talking about how the water levels have dropped. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, well, wait a minute. You're blaming, you're more or less blaming the right, you know, folks that look conservative-wise, for the rising sea levels in these articles, but you're blaming them for the drought and the lower sea levels in this article. And to be quite honest with you, when it comes down to climate change and all that jazz, it's there. I'm not saying that things aren't changing. What I will say, though, is that it's the planet doing what it does. Okay? You know, like right now, here in North Carolina, I really didn't do any planting in my garden till June. Why? Because we still had frost in May. And now, December usually hangs right around the 50s, and it's January, February, and March when you have your freezings going on. So in the 51 years of my living, traditionally, December, January, February were your three cold months. Well, over the 50 years, things have changed. The earth has evolved. Things have moved on. And now, it's still relatively chilly in May now. And spring is more of an April, May, June event than a May, April, or a March, April, May event. Okay? So I know folks are out there listening going, oh, well, you know, there's Dave. Yeah, well, you know, he just doesn't believe that there's really, you know, there's really climate change out there. I know there's climate change because 10,000 years ago, I bet you there were some damn cavemen walking around going, hey, Phil, you notice it's gotten colder than shit lately? And the next thing you know, Ice Age. it's just the earth doing its thing. So,
I'm going to go with, I said it before, why do we have all these salt mines across the Great Plains and stuff like that? Kansas is one of the biggest salt mines ever. Do you think that thing formed without salt water at some point? Not exactly. So you get that was covered. We don't know what the normal level is. Heck, they have got so many. How do we want to say this? They've got so many pieces of old cities and whatnot that they found in underwater off the coast of India and stuff like that. Places that were thought to be a myth and this and that. It's crazy. It's amazing. I mean, this earth constantly changes. And where do you pick your starting point unless you really want to try at a certain point till from the beginning of, you know, when it was forming, it's a hot ball of, you know, everything. And finally the atmosphere started, and at a certain point where life started, maybe you ought to use that because this place has been, it's been really, really different all the way through its cycle. How many times has it tipped its poles? How many times has the axis changed? All that stuff. And, you know, we're going to find out that they're going to try to blame the axis change on a man-made thing. And it was changing long before man. Just saying.
Right. Right. And it's going to continue to change. You know what I mean? You know, another good example about the climate is the wind. Here in North Carolina, I remember when I was a kid, and when I moved to North Carolina in 82, I was 12. And everybody...
Jesus! You were 12.
You like that, huh? Old fart. But kites were a big thing, right?
Yes.
And when I moved up here, I got my kite out. Actually, I got a new kite because the other one had gotten destroyed in the move from Paris Island. And you couldn't get a kite to fly to save your ass because there was never any wind. Never any wind for years.
Unless you were at the beach.
Yeah. Every now and then you can get that thing up if a storm front was coming in. But otherwise, you're out of luck. Now, the wind blows constantly around here. I mean, every day you have the wind. As a matter of fact, since I said something about being stagnant still, the wind has actually picked up in the last 20 minutes. So, again, it's change. It's what the earth does. It doesn't require
I think that's
daily speculative write-ups. You know what I mean? It just...
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm guessing that the wind increase outside is... You notice that just started since you went outside, Dave. I'm just... Coincidence?
But it's not a hot wind, so I'm going to... I'm going to plead the fifth.
Yeah.
It's not a hot wind.
Nice.
Not yet, Lee. Give it time.
Oh, man. But, yeah, you know what, though? Yeah, the kite flying. Now, let's do this. Suppose, bring in something positive. We've talked about all this press stuff that we don't dig. That just wastes people's damn time. Because, let's face it, even if you're scrolling through that time, you still got to click to get past the garbage.
Right.
You know, using some of that stuff. Some of those good things, the kite flying stuff with the families and stuff like that, the kids, and even being bigger and doing it, you know, older, it's still, you know, on a successful kite flying day, it's a big day. I remember a string breaking, and we had to go like probably about a half a mile to go find a kite. And yes, we really did go a whole half a mile to go find the kite because we just didn't have a, you know, that was money. That was a kite. And it was just the whole, man, how much of the string can we re-roll on a thing and maybe be able to do it? Will we have enough string left attached to it to be able to use that to get a decent flight later, stuff like that. But I did see on, one of these Facebook groups, Godzilla-oriented, they had a big old honking three-headed King Ghidorah kite.
Oh, wow.
And I got to tell you, I know Yuki would kill me, but you know, for just thinking about it, but too late, I was already thinking about it. I was like, how cool would that be? A three-headed King Ghidorah kite.
Yeah, go out there and dump a light bill on a damn kite. But that is cool, man.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure that would
like
go
you
over
said,
well.
Back in the day, if you were at the beach, you know, you couldn't get a wind going, you know. And it's always windy at the beach, so, I mean, There's some nifty little climate news that hasn't changed, is that it's usually windy at the beach. So explain that to me, Greta.
It's amazing how you can drive roughly 15 miles straight line, and it's so different. But, I mean, we've all seen that. We've all been at some point or other driven from point A to point B, and you're you can be in 90-degree weather or whatever. You can see the storm rolling in, and or you're out for a drive anytime in the summer. I really remember it in the summer because we had the lake effect up there in northern Ohio. You'd be driving, and suddenly it was like the road's wet. What the hell happened here? I didn't see anything. We've had sunshine all day.
It happened to me today. I had to drive out to a school near Topsail Island for work, and down there by Stone Bay, by the Bowl Rifle Range, Todd. And
okay,
when I turned on 210.
I know that area.
I got probably about a mile from Stone Bay, and it was pouring ass rain. I mean, coming down like you wouldn't imagine, right? And I get to Stone Bay, sun outside, just as gorgeous as you can ask for a day, with the exception of the heat. And I'm going, okay, did I just drive through a wormhole, or am I pulling a Loki here where I go through a different dimension or some shit, you know? So what's funny is that the oncoming traffic don't have their headlights on, but then the traffic going in my direction, everybody's got their headlights on, you know?
Right, and the vehicles are all wet. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really good example, because people miss that. Oh, my God, that's crazy.
Before we move on, I am being joined by the lovely Dale. Say hi to everybody.
Hello.
Hey, Dale.
Hello.
How you doing, lady?
Good. How are you?
See how
I'm just outstanding to Supernatural. Tim, is this?
He's also excited to be here.
Before on the phone.
Introducing Dale to technology out here with my gooseneck lamp speaker and everything. She is joining me for a delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars tonight. She is on
and
a little bit of a lead.
She is not shy about
before.
Doing that.
No, absolutely not.
She is not.
And it's nice to have somebody join you in your bad habits. And I'm here to tell you, she's become quite the cigar smoker. She has impressed me in trying to out-vice me. So she's doing very well.
Good girl.
Drinking, Tim, you would be impressed. She's drinking some type of, I think it's Tito's she's drinking possibly. Maybe that or Patron. She's walking, so it can't be Patron. So it's, I don't know what she's drinking. So anyhow, she is, what are you drinking? Yes, it is vodka. Very good. And some cherry 7-Up. Very good.
Oh, look at
and
you.
She's smoking Arturo Fuente cigar. That's how badass she is. Smoking Arturo. Goes to the head of the line.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Bad.
No,
bad.
Absolutely not. That's one of her go-tos
not
right
bad.
There. Actually,
yeah.
She is smoking the same. I got her smoking some of the Deadwood series, which I smoke, and she pulls on them regularly. So she's smoking big boy cigars. She's not out here with your little cigarillos and that kind of stuff, folks. So, yeah, hats off to my gorgeous. Oh, bless her. Did you drink any brains on it? Just a little bit? Okay. So, we're going to move on to the next
Warner
set of headlines.
That bug that got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sucker. Good. Yeah. I don't know what the hell that thing was. That might make headlines right there.
Well, here we go. This show brought to you by Geospora.
And Deep Woods Off and Raid Hornet Spray. That reminds me,
man,
I did
dude.
Buy a can of fly spray and shot it all over myself, and I have yet to been able to fly, so I'm going to return that can.
You know.
All right, tough room. Tough room. All right.
No, I was going to say there's a similar joke for those that won't get their panties in a bunch. You just got to, you know, be open-minded about it, I guess. But the same kind of joke applies to the date rape drug. I remember working at a restaurant, and I walked in, and I said, man, that date rape drug they keep talking about, it doesn't do crap. And I said, I've been taking it for a week, and I've not been raped once.
I can't win. I can't. Now, Todd, did you see the thing I put on Facebook with all the Kermit the Frog pictures where he's just leaning there staring out in the distance, and across the
yes.
top it says, me patiently waiting for all those people that my teachers told me were going to give me, offer me free drugs? Like, here I am, 51, and nobody's offered me any free drugs yet. Just patiently waiting. I guess they'll be by soon. Still haven't gotten any. So, yeah, I'll just stay right here, guys. You know, whenever you decide to give some free samples, come on by. I'll wait. But so,
yeah,
I'm going to throw another headline out.
My potential
out
for the vice. Go ahead.
My next headline, and let me apologize for what I'm about to say, because I am not by any way trying to piss on graves or be disrespectful to the deceased. But if I read another headline, and I use the term headline, in other words, this is mixed in with, you know, stuff going on in the Middle East and, you know, the price of gas and voting rights news, okay? If I read about one more rapper that was shot, now, let me go ahead and preface this. Being shot in gang violence as a rapper is kind of like dying of a drug overdose or liver failure as a metal band. You know what I mean? There are so many rock bands and singers and artists that have died because of drug overdoses or alcohol abuse and blah, blah, blah. So it goes with the territory. So does the getting shot when you're a rapper. It just comes with the territory. So I entertained myself the other night after reading a blob about another rapper who unfortunately lost their lives to gang violence. I actually took the young man's name and I put it on Amazon to see how many albums he had had out. And he didn't show up. So how is he a rapper if he doesn't have an album out? You're not a pro golfer until you get your pro card, right? You're not a firefighter until you put a fire out, right? So how can this guy be deemed as a rap artist if he has no recordings? Nevertheless, it's not new. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I would say let's do this. What about, and I apologize. I really feel bad about this because I'm completely blanking on the name. Old boy that sits on the corner there at Western and 17. Western does the karate stuff. He may not be a karate champ,
yeah,
but you know what? We all know him and love him. You know what
yep.
I'm saying? Because
yep.
to us, he is special. But to the rest of the planet, maybe trying to look them up and find stuff. They won't see a whole lot. They may find them under the Jacksonville Ninja. But, man, dude, what a good soul. What a good
soul. Absolutely. And he is a good guy. When you talk to him, he's a hell of a good guy. But you'll never see him or myself, for that matter, being a headline beside world events. You know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah, I'm tracking. But you just, you know, I just wanted to put it in perspective.
But it's another one of those things that, again, it has zero effect on how things go. It's unfortunate, very unfortunate, and sad, because, you know, obviously there's somebody who's missing them, be it, you know, moms, dads, children, wives, whatever. There's obviously people out there that are crying tonight and having a bad evening over his loss of life. But on the flip side, when I'm reading about war in the Middle East, when I'm reading about the collapse of a building in Florida, when I'm reading about hurricanes coming up the coast, when I'm reading about the price of gas going through the roof, it's not a headline. It's not a top-tier thing. And, I mean, the same can be applied to, like,
let me ask you, hold on, and I get, because that stuff means jack to me, but I always try to question myself, does it mean I'm out of touch? Does it mean, generally speaking, you used to love death. Doesn't mean jack to me. John Wayne counted. Elvis counted in my mind. Eddie Van Halen counted. But, you know, all this other stuff. I was told I lacked empathy because I said I have limited empathy for these celebs that off themselves.
Right. But on the flip side, you know, again, I'll go on out there and say, you talk about Eddie Van Halen. How many albums did he have? How many sold-out concerts did he have? He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, he made his mark. You know, if a firefighter loses his life in a burning building, you know, he lost his life doing his job. He's doing his part. And, you know, to a certain extent, some of these other, you know, deaths that happen, though they're unfortunate, they're not, I don't know how to put it. They're par for the course, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, there's, I get you, some of them, I try to direct my empathy, if that makes sense. I'm more impacted by a veteran committing suicide than I am by an actor committing suicide. I just am. But that's my life experiences that's helped shape my perspective. But there's going to be somebody out there that follows that stuff, and that means to them they get different life experiences, and it will affect them.
Yeah, you're right there. Absolutely. Without a doubt. Now, Tim, I'm going to let you take it away because I have to take a station break real quick. So what kind of headlines do you have that you can do without?
Oh, what else?
Remember to mute.
What's the movie, Todd? What's the movie where he does the, is it a Naked Gun movie? Or was it...
Yeah, exactly. Naked Gun.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm trying to think of some more headlines.
My favorite moment from Naked Gun when he's in that scene was the whole moment where he goes,
Is that part of that same
scene? Did I not have to send you that clip because you did not know it?
I believe so. Yeah. I had seen it before, but it has been a long time since I had seen it.
I'm trying not to mention the name. I'm going to try to go by Billy. The missile prep security manager I had mentioned during one of the virtual calls. I was like, hey, I was pretty happy this week that we didn't have a Naked Gun moment. And all I heard was, really, Todd?
Yeah.
Yeah. They happen a little too often sometimes. That's an answer. Now, you know, speaking on Naked Gun, entertainment, that's another one that I could throw out there. Can I please have at least like a week buffer before you start ruining the plot to every damn movie and TV show out there? And the thing of it is that you almost have to go dark now. You almost have to totally cut yourself off from any type of television or internet or radio. And we've all been there. You know, you're at work and you, back in the day you used to DVR or whatever the hell that was, a game. And, you've waited all day and you're telling everybody, don't tell me the score, don't tell me the score. And you're driving home and you pull up in the driveway and the DJ on the radio station goes, yeah, what a tough day today. My Steelers lost by 3. And you're like, God damn it. You know, Ed, it happened to me today before I watched the last episode of Loki. It was to the point where it was spoiling it for me accidentally. It wasn't one of those things where I was going, okay, I need to avoid that site because I know they're going to be talking about it. As the news flops are coming up, and they're talking about what the Taliban did to those 22 Afghan soldiers, and they're talking about the folks in Texas abandoning their posts so they didn't have to vote on voter rights. And then it came up about Loki, and the headline read, and I won't read it for those who haven't watched that Loki yet, and I read it, and I said, well, damn, they ain't no need me watching the damn episode now because I already know what the hell's going to happen. And the episode had only been on for 6 hours. It had only been available for 6 hours, and some dingling had already posted, and it'd be one thing if they made the byline,
spoiler included.
Final episode. Yeah. Final episode of Loki, outstanding and surprising. Or something of that. So in that way, it didn't tell me what the hell was going on, but in the byline, it pretty much told you what was going to happen. So when I turned it on, and the first 2 or 3 minutes are going by, and it should be suspenseful for me. I'm watching it, and I'm going, well, I already know what's fixing to happen. You know what I mean? And it was funny, thinking about that. I remember when I went to see Empire Strikes Back as a 10-year-old kid, went to the base theater there in the air station at Beaufort, South Carolina, and and spoiler alert, I'm about ready to tell you the plot twist in Empire Strikes Back, guys. in case you didn't hear, when Darth Vader informed Luke that he was his dad, I remember my mom telling me, don't say anything. I remember on the way home, she chewed my ass and said, don't go to school running your mouth. And that was before the term spoilers had even come out. You know what I mean? Mom was saying, don't say nothing about it because you're going to ruin it for everybody else. And, you know, so now it's like Black Widow, all right? I have yet to go to the theater. Black Widow came out Friday. Today is Wednesday, so this is day five. I have yet to go to the theater, which is unusual for me because usually me and Rob, we don't miss a Marvel or a Star Wars flick. But, you know, the planets just haven't aligned. We haven't gone. We haven't ponied up the $30 extra for Disney Plus to watch the film. But they have already broadcasted like two or three particular plot twists in that film that I wasn't even looking for. If I was going around trying to find stuff and I was dodging spoilers, that's one thing. I was reading about current events in the United States. I was reading about voter rights. I was reading about the price of gas. And that came up, and it said a certain particular thing that happened in that film, and I'm going, well, shit. You know, it just totally, and the movie's only been out for 3, 4, 5 days, man. Give people a chance to go watch the damn thing. You know? And whoever writes that stuff, I don't care if you write it. And I like the way you started off and then you put in bold letters, don't read any further, spoilers. But then in the headlines, you tell it anyway. So what in the hell good are you doing?
Yeah, that's pretty disingenuous, right? That's right.
Right. You know, it's, you know, who did it? You were playing Clue. I'm not going to tell you, but that Colonel Mustard is a sumbitch. You know, it's, come
yeah,
on, guys.
Oh, man. Yeah, oh, man. That's funny because it came up earlier funny. In my little brain housing group. You brought up clues, so it's on you. All I could think of is a reference to being tired earlier, and all I heard was Madeline Kahn singing, I'm so tired, from since she was in Clue, and of course that was her Blazing Saddles bit. So tired.
Yep.
So tired.
I would. Yeah, but that's another bit of headlines that I can do without right there. And for those people who feel like they have to embellish when they're writing to get the edge, up yours, because you're ruining it for everybody else. And I'm one of those guys that, and Dale will tell you, you could stand in front of me with a Christmas present of mine, and I will thumb out my eyes before I look at it, because I don't want to ruin that moment. I want to have that just split second of euphoria of seeing it and going, oh, wow. You know what I mean?
We had, for Garion, when the Xbox came out, we had bought him the one with the Chief Wants or whatever the game is for the particular game. We had bought him the special model Xbox
Halo?
With the game.
Yeah.
And we didn't even wrap it because he knew what he was getting. But what we did is we set it out and made him wait till his birthday to open it and connect it.
Oh, wow. That was a grind.
It was a grind. But we had to also set up, you know, I had to get the stuff for the router to connect to it and all that, buy the cable, the, you know, run down the hallway and all that kind of stuff. So there was some technical issues involved. And, oh, God, now everything's wireless. Imagine that. You buy a special router, and, you know, to throw onto your modem. And, yeah. But yeah,
yeah, no,
we
more
sure did that
holes
to carry
him. Wow.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know if I told y'all before. I did one of those ones where I did the special box, and on every side of the box, I wrote open on the other side. Open on the other side.
Oh, wow.
Every side of the box, it opened on the other side. So when they unwrapped it, they were like, hey, what the hell?
It was a right good many years ago. My brother had taken an entire roll of duct tape and wrapped Rob's gift in an entire roll of duct tape. I mean, by the time Rob cut through that tape, the box was like half the size, you know, of what was the package was. That was some work. Good stuff, though, man. Good stuff.
Well, I've actually, we've done some of the stuff where you wrap a box really tight like that. Nothing quite so excessive as a full roll of duct tape. But then told them to go look in their own closet in their own room for their gift.
Oh, nice.
My brother did that for me. Yeah, when I was a kid, I was probably about 10 years old. My brother did that, something similar to that. He wrapped up, it was like a little jewelry box, and put it on the Christmas tree. Christmas morning, I get it, I unwrap it, and there's this little note in it. I'm like, what is this? And it says, go look on your bed. And I got up, and, of course, he knew when I went to go reach for that present. That's why he was in the back of the room. You know, he went to go set it up. So I went back down the hall, went to my bedroom, and there was a big, huge lightsaber sitting there on my bed. And it was the kind that lit up. And back when I was a kid, you know, they didn't have the flashy ones that made noise. And it might have made noise, but it didn't extend. It was basically just a really long, you know, lightsaber. It was first generation that they would make, I guess, back in the 80s, but I thought that was the coolest thing, and I thought that was pretty clever on his part.
Yeah, that's before they started consulting Adam and Eve for the design.
Nothing like the vibrating lightsabers you get, you know what I mean? What'd you bring for show and tell today? I brought Mom's lightsaber. It's got two blades. I think I'm holding the wrong end.
God almighty. One of the things we got in trouble for was one of the first ones with the sound effects. I was pretending to be Yuki shaving her legs. Oh, my God, I got abused for that one.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. That's rich. Nothing like the good old lightsaber jokes.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
And right now, just for the record, I hear Velvet yelling midget porn.
That's right. The
there
safe word.
Yeah.
Got to yell a safe word. Or safe words, as the case may be.
Just for the record, those that don't know, yesterday morning he had a procedure, and he really did not catch a break. He reached out for a little sympathy and stuff. We gave him very little, just to be clear, but mostly we made jokes at his expense.
We gave him the pop culture love is what we got. We gave him. Or you guys gave him.
I just found
out a little bit before the show, of course. Yeah, we hope Velvet is resting up and feeling better today. God knows that young man's had a pretty demanding couple weeks here lately.
He's a pretty demanding last 3 months.
Yeah, dude. It's been a tough roll, so hoping he's feeling better.
Well, that and our boy Dr. John, he's Well, let's go do this. You'll not hear any more co-host comments or anything like that, or alternate host comments and that. Dr. John will just join us as is convenient for him. We want to, he's, you know, with the challenges he's had, brother, we love you. And as much abuse as we give you, straight up, we do love you.
Yeah, most certainly.
He's, the disconcerting thing is his judgment may have seriously lapsed because he's leaving this show in our hands.
Yeah, to be certain, he can find some more qualified people other than us. But yeah.
Just saying.
We're the ones that do the hour-long show on the flavors of Hamburger Helper, lest we forget. So, I mean, it's things can go awry at any given moment on our watch, that's for damn certain. So, but yeah, hoping everybody is doing better health-wise and coming around, because we certainly miss everybody out here at Pop Culture Stars, man. That is for damn certain.
Yeah, we're talking, you know, Granny wasn't able to jump in this week. Papa Stroh, it's been awesome that he's been able to join us off and on lately. That's big miss. Malcolm hasn't jumped in a bit either. So we miss you and love you, crew.
We have to do a wrestling show and get everybody back in, I reckon. The wrestling shows bring the boys to the yard. Damn right.
Nice.
There you go. I just made a rap album. Look at me. I'm killing it. I'm the new hip-hop artist. I'm waiting for the bullets to start flying.
And you're recorded. Look at that.
I'm damn.
Now,
good point.
Find me on Amazon. Because of where you're at geographically, you have to be an East Coast rapper, just saying.
And as I run my mouth, Dale's about to pop a cap in my punk ass. So, yeah, it all falls into place.
Yeah, I like it. Please, I thought more than once she was going to pop one in mind. Oh, my God. Remember when she couldn't reach you via text or phone or whatever, and that black hole of cell access at that certain con? Boy, I had to go get the cop to give me access to take me back there to go get the special wristband. Oh, my God. True story.
You bravely took one for the team, young man.
It was so funny because I was like, well, apparently I'm family now.
Perhaps that's what we need to do next week's show on, because we've talked about it a million times, and now that the cons are starting to come back around, maybe we need to do a con survival show. Because I've always talked about that, you know, what to do, what to think, what to prepare for when you go to a con. Of course, you know, the rules have changed with the COVID and all that jazz. It'll be interesting to see how these shows have to rethink their layouts and everything. Because let's face it, there are some, one in particular, which I will not name the city, but my brother and I, we attended it, and I don't get rattled easy. I'm one of these guys that kind of just, you know, when things are going bad, I'm right in my element. But I didn't think I was going to make it. I mean, it was actually, there were people falling out. It was so crowded, and even the artists were having problems because the artists that were there, wherein, to throw a little bit in on what the artists do, if you're a comic book artist, not necessarily affiliated with comic book artists or art, or a comic book company, But nevertheless, there are artists out there that are selling their prints and all that kind of jazz. But one of the nifty things they will do is that if you slip them a 5, 10, 20 spot, they will custom sketch something for you. And that's quick little money for them that they have no overhead with. You know, with prints, you know, they got like $250 in each one of the prints, so they have to sell it for so much. But when they do those quick sketches for you for $5, $10, that's all gravy. That's all gravy money. But the catch is they got to be there at the table to do it. And what was happening is that some of these guys were getting up to go pee, and they couldn't get back to their tables for the crowd being so condensed. And my brother and I, the way we got through it is we did the old Gracie chain. For those of you who watch MMA from the first pay-per-view and on through, the Gracies used to always come through with the hand on the shoulder, if you guys recall. And they would make a big, like, Gracie caterpillar all the way to the ring. And my brother had his backpack on with all of his comic memorabilia. And I held on to the damn clip on the back of that thing. And he broke the crowd, and so we could stay together. That's how we got around. And, I mean, there were people falling out and heat exhaustion and all kinds of stuff. So I'm kind of curious to see now COVID forcing their hands and saying, okay, you're going to have to rethink how you set these rooms up. Perhaps there's going to be less tables, less space. Space may become more of a premium now for folks that are setting up tables there. So it'll be interesting
to
see.
Oh, I'm going
to
assume much wider aisles. And, but you and I both know that for constantly we're struggling here because we're down just 7 minutes of change. We've done Wilmington a number of times. And then there was one particular time that it went insane.
Yeah, and it got snug quick.
Yes, it did.
And it made me happy. I was on the other side of the table. You know what I mean? Because that was the only fighting chance you had. I couldn't imagine being caught up in that current. And when I say current, you know, you laugh. It is a current. It's just like being in the damn ocean, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Next thing I knew on that show, I was asked, like, hey, can you work with me? Wait, what? I need you to come to this left table while they're doing the interviews in the room, while they're doing the up-close meet-and-greet stuff. I need you to do the, cover the vendor's table because the food vendor's got to go get lunch.
Yeah.
Or even better, the food vendor's got to go make connections to go get more food to vend.
Yeah, because there's no food to give. Yeah, that's...
Oh,
my
goodness. Yeah, craziness happens at those scouts.
Maybe we'll go ahead and set it in stone right here. Next week will be a con survival show, and... you know, it doesn't necessarily mean what to do if you're setting up a table. It's more about how to survive one when you go. Because I often tell people,
I think it applies just so Tim don't feel left out. It's like going to an amusement park. It's like going to a fair. It's like going to any of those things.
Right.
How do you
concert?
Very, very applicable to them. You're taking the family, you're doing that. There's the, look, people talk smack about fanny packs. When it comes to that stuff, big fan of fanny packs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
all right,
big.
Hey, we're at 5 minutes of change.
Right on. So, we'll go ahead and pass it around the room real quick. For final thoughts, and plugs and whatnot. So we'll go in the normal order. Tim, we'll go ahead and start off with you, buddy.
All right. Well, I would like to say this week. Now, I'm going to give a disclaimer before I say this. First of all, I'm about to hit a milestone here, and it's a pretty cool milestone. But I don't want anyone to think here that I'm like a recovering alcoholic or anything like that. Not that there's anything wrong with being recovering. If you're getting help or if you got help, that's great. You know, more power to you. I myself am not recovering, but as you know, because of health issues, I did have to stop drinking, and Lord knows I like my alcohol. But the milestone that I am soon approaching, and yes, I took the time to calculate this the other day, so pretty cool. 3 days from now, it will have been 200 days since my last alcoholic beverage. 200 days.
Wow.
So it's kind of odd. I've not been able to say that since I was probably 19, maybe even 18 years old. I don't think I've ever gone since the age of 18, 200 days without drinking. So kind of a wild milestone to hit. Anyway, that's all in my arena. Over to you guys.
Well, that's a big deal. And just for the record, you think anybody that has to work with me on a regular basis, you think he'd drink a lot more?
It's probably a prerequisite, right?
So the true test is because I am coming back to the office here soon, so that's going to be the true test. Well, although I'm not on the same days as Todd, for right now anyway.
Wow.
That's when you just need to sit around and wait for all those free drugs to come to you that the teacher said and people would offer. So keep in mind. Well, Tim, it was definitely great having you all aboard tonight. And, yes, next week, definitely it is not something that's going to go over your head. It's not just cons. It's anything like that when it comes down to that crowd thing and how to prepare yourself.
Yep.
So, yeah. Look forward to having you back next week. Pass on our best to the family and hoping everybody's continuing the good progress they've been doing. So, yeah, it's good having you aboard tonight, brother.
All right.
So, Todd, what kind of wisdom have you got for us parting, sir?
Oh, that is so cute. You think I have wisdom. Look, take care of yourselves. I already told you all I'll admit I have limited empathy, or I like to think that I focus my empathy. It's all about people. It's about those ones you love. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. I thought it was really, really cool. We had a higher level meeting at the end of the day. And I was able to tell how somebody from they work with our organization. They're definitely not part of us directly. Business processes include them. And they gave us a great heads up yesterday. So there I was with higher level leadership. And I took that 2 minutes to say, thank you, this guy did not have to do this, but he shot out this big thank you, or he shouted out this heads up, and I wanted to give that thank you because, honestly, I believe most folks, if somebody does something bad, it takes about 3 seconds to hear about it, but if somebody does something good, nobody ever hears about it. Take the time to do that. Take care of yourselves, one another. Be safe. Be smart.
Oh, definitely, dude. Well said. And you're absolutely right. That's why when somebody does something correctly, you need to make some more noise instead of being that person that makes noise when things don't go your way. So you're absolutely correct. So my end of things, I'll just echo what Todd said. Try to be a positive influence on what's going on. Don't be that person that makes the storm clouds show up. Because it's amazing how much positive energy can do. I ain't saying you got to be SpongeBob happy. What I'm saying, though, is try your level best to do good for the folks around you because it will come back to you, whether you want to think so or not. And be good to yourself. nothing wrong with being good to yourself, because, again, if you don't take care of yourself, it's hard to take care of others. So with all that being said, gentlemen, very well done. I'm going to put down my cigar, and I am going to walk into Atwell Manor and cue in that salty British lady. But appreciate you guys being on, and good show tonight. We'll turn around and walk.
And there he goes. Well, Dave's walking. He's hitting those dead spots in his house.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling. We are going to hear that British lady any moment now, just saying.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to hear old Haley What's-Her-Face that was from good stuff. Haley Atwell, I think.
We need to...